Page 127. Part 2. Page 128 is blank. Page 129. Chapter 14. Okonkwo was well received by his mother's kinsmen in Banta. The old man who received him was his mother's younger brother, who was now the eldest surviving member of that family. His name was Uchendu, and it was he who had received Okonkwo's mother 20 and 10 years before, when she had been brought home from Umuofia to be buried with her people. Okonkwo was only a boy then, and Uchendu still remembered him crying the traditional farewell, "Mother, mother, mother is going." That was many years ago. Today, Okonkwo was not bringing his mother home to be buried with her people. He was taking his family of 3 wives and their children to seek refuge in his motherland. As soon as Uchendu saw him with his sad and weary company, he guessed what had happened and asked no questions. It was not until the following day that Okonkwo told him the full story. The old man listened silently to the end and then said with some relief, "It is a female Ochu," and he arranged the requisite rites and sacrifices. Okonkwo was given a plot of ground on which to build his compound and 2 or 3 pieces of land on which to farm during the coming planting season. Page 130. With the help of his mother's kinsmen, he built himself an obi and 3 huts for his wives. He then installed his personal god and the symbols of his departed fathers. Each of Uchendu's 5 sons contributed 300 seed yams to enable their cousin to plant a farm, for as soon as the first rain came, farming would begin. At last the rain came. It was sudden and tremendous. For 2 or 3 moons the sun had been gathering strength till it seemed to breathe a breath of fire on the earth. All the grass had long been scorched brown, and the sands felt like live coals to the feet. Evergreen trees wore a dusty coat of brown. The birds were silenced in the forests, and the world lay panting under the live, vibrating heat. And then came the clap of thunder. It was an angry, metallic, and thirsty clap, unlike the deep and liquid rumbling of the rainy season. A mighty wind arose and filled the air with dust. Palm trees swayed as the wind combed their leaves into flying crests, like strange and fantastic coiffures. When the rain finally came, it was in large, solid drops of frozen water, which the people called the nuts of the water of heaven. They were hard and painful on the body as they fell, yet young people ran about happily picking up the cold nuts and throwing them into their mouths to melt. The earth came quickly to life, and the birds in the forests fluttered around and chirped merrily. A vague scent of life and green vegetation was diffused in the air. As the rain began to fall more soberly and in smaller liquid drops, children sought for shelter, and all were happy, refreshed, and thankful. Page 131. Okonkwo and his family worked very hard to plant a new farm. But it was like beginning life anew without the vigor and enthusiasm of youth, like learning to become left-handed in old age. Work no longer had for him the pleasure it used to have, and when there was no work to do, he sat in a silent half-sleep. His life had been ruled by a great passion, to become one of the lords of the clan. That had been his life-spring, and he had all but achieved it. Then everything had been broken. He had been cast out of his clan like a fish onto a dry, sandy beach, panting. Clearly his personal god, or chi, was not made for great things. A man could not rise beyond the destiny of his chi. The saying of the elders was not true, that if a man said yea, his chi also affirmed. Here was a man whose chi said nay, despite his own affirmation. The old man, Uchendu, saw clearly that Okonkwo had yielded to despair, and he was greatly troubled. He would speak to him, after the Isa Ifi ceremony. The youngest of Uchendu's five sons, Ami Ku, was marrying a new wife. The bride price had been paid, and all but the last ceremony had been performed. Ami Ku and his people had taken palm wine to the bride's kinsmen about 2 moons before Okonkwo's arrival in Banta. And so it was time for the final ceremony of confession. The daughters of the family were all there, some of them having come a long way from their homes in distant villages. Uchendu's eldest daughter had come from Obodo, nearly half a day's journey away. Page 132. The daughters of Uchendu's brothers were also there. It was a full gathering of Umuada in the same way as they would meet if a death occurred in the family. There were 22 of them. They sat in a big circle on the ground, and the bride sat in the center with a hen in her right hand. Uchendu sat by her, holding the ancestral staff of the family. All the other men stood outside the circle watching. Their wives watched also. It was evening, and the sun was setting. Uchendu's eldest daughter, Jide, asked the questions. "Remember that if you do not answer truthfully, you will suffer or even die at childbirth," she began. "How many men have lain with you since my brother first expressed the desire to marry you?" "None," she answered simply. "Answer truthfully," urged the other women. "None?" asked Jide. "None," she answered. "Swear on this staff of my father's," said Uchendu. "I swear," said the bride. Uchendu took the hen from her, slit its throat with a sharp knife, and allowed some of the blood to fall on his ancestral staff. From that day, Amiku took the young bride to his hut, and she became his wife. The daughters of the family did not return to their homes immediately, but spent 2 or 3 days with their kinsmen. Page 133. On the second day, Uchendu called together his sons and daughters and his nephew, Okonkwo. The men brought their goatskin mats, with which they sat on the floor, and the women sat on a sisal mat spread on a raised bank of earth. Uchendu pulled gently at his gray beard and gnashed his teeth. Then he began to speak quietly and deliberately, picking his words with great care. "It is Okonkwo that I primarily wish to speak to," he began. "But I want all of you to note what I'm going to say. I am an old man, and you are all children. I know more about the world than any of you. If there's any one among you who thinks he knows more, let him speak up." He paused, but no one spoke. "Why is Okonkwo with us today? This is not his clan. We are only his mother's kinsmen. He does not belong here. He is an exile, condemned for 7 years to live in a strange land, and so he is bowed with grief. But there is just one question I would like to ask him. Can you tell me, Okonkwo, why it is that one of the commonest names we give our children is Neka, or Mother is Supreme? We all know that a man is the head of the family, and his wives do his bidding. A child belongs to its father and his family, and not to its mother and her family. A man belongs to his fatherland, and not to his motherland. And yet we say, Neka, Mother is Supreme. Why is that?" There was silence. "I want Okonkwo to answer me," said Uchendu. "I do not know the answer," Okonkwo replied. "You do not know the answer? So you see that you are a child." Page 134. "You have many wives and many children, more children than I have. You are a great man in your clan, but you are still a child, my child. Listen to me, and I shall tell you. But there is one more question I shall ask you. Why is it that when a woman dies, she is taken home to be buried with her own kinsmen? She is not buried with her husband's kinsmen. Why is that? Your mother was brought home to me and buried with my people. Why was that?" Okonkwo shook his head. "He does not know that either," said Uchendu. and yet he's full of sorrow because he has come to live in his motherland for a few years. He laughed a mirthless laughter and turned to his sons and daughters. What about you? Can you answer my question? They all shook their heads. Then, listen to me, he said, and cleared his throat. It's true that a child belongs to its father. But when a father beats his child, it seeks sympathy in its mother's hut. A man belongs to his fatherland when things are good and life is sweet. But when there is sorrow and bitterness, he finds refuge in his motherland. Your mother is there to protect you. She's buried there. And that is why we say that mother is supreme. Is it right that you, Okonkwo, should bring to your mother a heavy face and refuse to be comforted? Be careful, or you may displease the dead. Your duty is to comfort your wives and children and take them back to your fatherland after 7 years. But if you allow sorrow to weigh you down and kill you, they will all die in exile. He paused for a long while. These are now your kinsmen. He waved at his sons and daughters. Page 135. You think you are the greatest sufferer in the world? Do you know that men are sometimes banished for life? Do you know that men sometimes lose all their yams and even their children? I had 6 wives once. I have none now, except that young girl who knows not her right from her left. Do you know how many children I have buried? Children I begot in my youth and strength? 22. I did not hang myself, and I am still alive. If you think you are the greatest sufferer in the world, ask my daughter, Aku-Eni, how many twins she has borne and thrown away. Have you not heard the song they sing when a woman dies? For whom it is well, for whom is it well? There is no one for whom it is well. I have no more to say to you. Page 136. Chapter 15. It was in the second year of Okonkwo's exile that his friend Obierika came to visit him. He brought with him 2 young men, each of them carrying a heavy bag on his head. Okonkwo helped them put down their loads. It was clear that the bags were full of cowries. Okonkwo was very happy to receive his friend. His wives and children were very happy too, and so were his cousins and their wives, when he sent for them and told them who his guest was. "You must take him to salute our father," said one of the cousins. "Yes," replied Okonkwo, "we are going directly." But before they went, he whispered something to his first wife. She nodded, and soon the children were chasing one of their cocks. Uchendu had been told by one of his grandchildren that 3 strangers had come to Okonkwo's house. He was therefore waiting to receive them. He held out his hands to them when they came into his obi, and after they had shaken hands, he asked Okonkwo who they were. Page 137. This is Obierika, my great friend. I have already spoken to you about him. Yes, said the old man, turning to Obierika. My son has told me about you, and I am happy you have come to see us. I knew your father, Iweka. He was a great man. He had many friends here and came to see them quite often. Those were good days when a man had friends in distant clans. Your generation does not know that. You stay at home, afraid of your next-door neighbor. Even a man's motherland is strange to him nowadays. He looked at Okonkwo. I am an old man, and I like to talk. That is all I am good for now. He got up painfully, went into an inner room, and came back with a kola nut. Who are the young men with you? He asked as he sat down again on his goatskin. Okonkwo told him. Ah, he said, welcome, my sons. He presented the kola nut to them, and when they had seen it and thanked him, he broke it, and they ate. Go into that room, he said to Okonkwo, pointing with his finger. You will find a pot of wine there. Okonkwo brought the wine, and they began to drink. It was a day old and very strong. Yes, said Uchendu, after a long silence, people traveled more in those days. There is not a single clan in these parts that I do not know very well. Aninta, Umuazu, Ikeucha, Elemuela, Abame, I know them all.